You are listening to 4 Raw from 4 Fields of Anfield Road, the world's international LFC podcast.
Now, what are the chances of this?
I'm just wondering whether you remember the derby match in 1967 at Goodison, FA Cup, fifth round, and it was shown on a big screen at Anfield at the
same
time.
That's right.
Do you remember it?
Yeah, I do. I played in it.
Did you?
I was goalkeeper for Liverpool.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a stroke of luck, me meeting you. Yeah, yes. Sorry, can you remind me of your name, please?
Tommy Lawrence.
Tommy, nice to meet you. What do you remember about it?
It was a great game, yes. Alan Ball scored the winner.
He did indeed.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
We used to call him the Flying Pig. Tommy, you know, he was a little bit overweight, Tommy, and but a good goalkeeper.
Well, he was known as the Flying Pig, which was a bit insulting. He was a big man, but for a big man he was very, very agile. I prefer the description given to him by Joe Mercer. It was the charity shield at Goodison Park in August 1966 between champions Liverpool and cup winners Everton. And Liverpool won 1-0, but it was a 1-0 massacre. They actually thrashed Everton. And Lawrence, after that game, was singled out by Joe Mercer, who said, "I've just seen the first sweeper keeper ever in English football." And we said, "Sweeper keeper? That fellow Lawrence, he's a defender as well as a goalkeeper." And it was a lovely description because he was. He used to, as Bob Paisley said, nip things in the bud.
Tommy was a goalkeeper, which, you know, if the back four had been very, very square and a through ball, you could imagine, you know, the centre forward would get it most of the time nowadays. Not then. Tommy would be out of his goal and tackling the whoever, you know, either the strikers or the wingers, you know.
He used to see a situation, he'd be out, and he'd actually tackle players like a defender would. So he was two in one. He was a defender come goalkeeper, goalkeeper come defender. And made the position his own.
He was absolutely brilliant, and I say that because, you know, he did it in training. He loved to play out, and you know, I've never known a goalkeeper loved to play out, and he loved to be a striker. Tell me, and can hit a ball as well.
He waited his time there to get in the team for some time. He was there when I think he was there already when Shanks arrived. He was already there. But when he got in the team, made the position his own, right through, of course, till the coming of Clements.
Yeah, I like Tommy. You know, when you last 10 years as a Liverpool goalkeeper, you know, you must have something, and Tommy had a lot.
Hi guys, welcome to 4 Raw, an official podcast of 4 Fields of Anfield Road. We are at www.foresite.com, that's F-O-A-R-S-I-T-E.com, a great international community of Reds. So please do join us. Today with me, I have Keval. Keval, say hello.
Hello, guys, how are you?
And my personal favorite podder, if that's a word, Dada Sibashish.
Hey everyone, hey.
So guys, let's take a look at the game that's coming up against City. You know, we'll do a preview. So, Dada, I'll ask you this. How do we stop KDB first?
We don't, actually. And I mean, such a player, it's difficult to stop him. But the way we are playing, I believe that we actually can go toe-to-toe with them. We have goals in us, they have goals in them. In the end, it will be in who scores more, and that's what will decide the game. I think that's how it will be. I mean, make no mistake about it, I would love to stop KDB and Sané and Sterling, but I don't think that's the way it's going to pan out. We'll have plenty of goals in that thing.
True. Okay, so we have Vaishak joining us. Vaishak, are you there?
Hey, Vaishak.
Okay, he might be having some technical difficulties, I think. Anyway, continue. Do you think we can actually unleash Genie Wijnaldum on KDB, you know, snapping at his ankles and everything? You know, he has all the energy, so we just, you know, man-mark him out of the game. Can we do that?
Man-marking is so passe. I don't want to do that. Man-marking, I don't think it's... You know, for top players, man-marking doesn't quite work. And here's the problem with man-marking. That is, if you lose your man once, and for a player of KDB's caliber, he just needs one opportunity, and he'll punish you. Instead, you should devise a system where collectively they can be stopped. True. So I don't think man-marking is the way forward. Not against KDB, or for that matter, Aguero as well.
Aguero is someone that, you know, that has continuously haunted us in the past.
Right, exactly.
And plus, they have so many players. Keval, anyone particular apart from KDB that you fear? No, the snake is coming back. So
I actually fear the whole entire team, because it's very annoying to see them. Even after conceding one goal, they are able to hold their nerves, and they are scoring four more goals in second half. Burnley, Bristol City. It's very annoying. I'm actually scared of scoring the first goal, because we all know what is going to happen next. We don't trust our defense, but defense will be one of the most important key. And I agree with Dada about not creating a man-marking scene, because if we are able to hold KDB, then there will be Silva. If we block Silva, then there will be Sané or Sterling. So we have to stop the entire team collectively rather than one point person, because any of them are scoring right now.
Yeah, Keval, I need to stop you right there. Sorry. Vaishak, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, finally. Yeah. Sorry for the, you know.
Yeah, no problem.
Welcome, Vaishak.
Yeah, welcome to the pod, man.
Thanks, guys.
So you are a rookie on the pod. So we were discussing about the City game. We are just started. We are previewing the City game. How do you suppose you stop them?
Well, the other day I was having this convo on Twitter with this, you know, a guy from South Africa, and he was saying that, you know, the main area of focus would be the battle in the middle, you know, the midfield battle. So he was saying that, you know, if we win that, you know, we can have a foothold in the game. Otherwise, they'll just roll us over, which I really don't want that to happen again.
Keval, what do you suppose that they'll line up like? I mean, will it be the usual, you know, Sané and Sterling flanking Aguero, Silva and KDB behind them, and then you have Fernandinho holding the mid?
So, if to be very honest, Fernandinho is one of the most important players for them rather than KDB. Of course, they are creative, but Fernandinho is distracting everything. So, if we are able to press them collectively, I think we can score goals, and in the end it is going to be up to Van Dijk and his partner, hopefully Matip, to stop Aguero from scoring, because eventually they are going to score. We have seen them scoring 3-4 goals in second half even after 1-0 down. So we just need to play our own game and just hope, because we, to be very honest, none of the teams have the answer right now how to stop them, except Crystal Palace and Roy Hodgson. I don't know how they did it, but no, I don't believe it. But yeah.
Do you think Klopp will give Wonderboy a call?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Just imagine the two worst type of teams in English Premier League, Everton and Crystal Palace, are able to stop Manchester City. That is irony.
You can say that Pep Guardiola might have underestimated both of them. Yeah, maybe not Everton. Everton were actually in good form when the season started for the couple of games. And then you see Crystal Palace, he might have, you know, underestimated them. And, you know, if Everton hadn't saved the penalty, they would have even got a draw out of it.
Yeah, Everton was genuine title contender for, I believe, an hour or two.
Anyways, moving on. Dada, what do you think that Klopp will line up like? You know, Coutinho is a massive miss. I mean, anyone can say anything about him that, you know, he's gone, so we have to move on and everything. But he's going to be a massive, massive miss, you know?
Look, I'll say exactly that. That he's gone, move on. He's not there as an option. So let's not even go there. There's no point thinking about, you know, on that line of thought,
but,
because he's just not there.
The thing is, you know, what would you do? You know, would you keep Oxlade on the bench, you know, just to have an option from the bench? Or would you start him and then, you know, if you don't have any options on the bench, then what are we going to do? So there's a dilemma for me.
I know. I'll start, and that's why I feel that we do need a replacement for Coutinho. But that's another debate, maybe for another day. But what I will say is I'll start Lallana, actually, and I'll keep Ox in the bench. Because Lallana with Firmino will do the press.
True.
And that's important. Firmino alone can't do it against a side like City. So he will need Lallana. And by now, I hope that Adam is fit somewhat. So for me, Chan starts. Adam's there, Firmino of course there, and will unleash Salah and Mane on both sides. Now, remember, the first game of the season for us against City, we were not outplayed till Mane was sent off.
True.
As a matter of fact, we actually were having the better of the exchanges. Salah was, you know, taking their left back to school. It was happening, but just, you know, unfortunate decision from the ref and all that. So all that's, you know, like, you know, water under the bridge by now. But the same can happen. We will not be outplayed. I can guarantee you that much. So look forward to an exciting game, man.
Yeah. Okay. Vaishak, you were talking about, you know, the battle will be won in the midfield. So besides Chan, who do you think will start? You know, Dada already said Lallana. So that leaves one spot open.
Oh.
So will you go with Gini Wijnaldum or James Milner?
Well, I was actually, you know, going to go with Emre, Gini and Ox, you know. I don't think Milner will provide... I don't think Milly will provide, you know, the added pace to the game. He was like really slow against Leicester, and they, you know, it was like horribly exposed against Leicester in the first half. But he made up for that with an assist. But I don't think Milly will start the, you know, midfield against City. And as you know, if you look at the high profile games that we have had this season against the top six, he only started two. No, one against Spurs and the other one was against, I don't know. Yeah, I forgot. I think it was United or something. But yeah, so I think Klopp prefers a much more agile midfielder, you know, in these games, because the tempo will be like really high. And yeah, so I'm going to go with Emre, Gini and Ox.
Okay. So, you know, before moving further, can I have predictions from you? Kewal, first you. What's your prediction for this game, man?
You should not ask me a prediction after knowing me for years now.
See,
I'm not going to say anything. I will pass. I'm sorry.
Are you sitting on the fence? Are you going for a draw or something like that?
City haven't beaten us in 15 years at Anfield.
And
this will be... I don't want to jinx it. At the same time, Chelsea had a really good unbeaten run last year, and the first difficult match they had against Spurs, they lost. I would hope the same thing to happen, but if not, then at least a draw would be fine. Scoring 2-2, Salah, I will get on him.
I'm going for a 4-2 win.
You are going for a 4-2 win. Oh, that's good.
Four goals against City will be almost 40% of goals they have conceded so far in this season.
Yeah, so I mean, it has to start somewhere,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, man.
Yeah.
And City has to slip up. City has to slip up for us to win the title this season. So it has to start somewhere.
Bro,
and this will be the start. Yes. Anyway,
don't get too high.
Moving on, Dada, you saw the rumors regarding Keita and everything today?
I did, yeah, I mean,
so what do
everyone
you make of
did.
That?
I think that there is an actual possibility that it might just happen. It's unlikely, I'll say that, but then I also felt that Coutinho moving on in January was unlikely. Mm. You know, transfer seasons are difficult to predict, so it can happen. From what I have seen so far, Keita is having motivational issues or disciplinary issues at Leipzig, yep. Which I cannot condone. I will not say that we are happy about it, because we are not. As long as you're there at the club, be a pro and do your job. Maybe he's not doing it, or it's just, you know, unfortunate the things that has happened with him. But if we can push to bring him over and it happens in a, you know, amicable manner, then I'm all for it, because we do need the legs. We'll need them.
Yeah, true. Kemal, there was a rumor going around that it'll require around £17 million, I think, to complete the transfer. Mm-hmm. And anyways, he's cup tied for the Champions League, so you know he won't be available for the Champions League ties. But in the Premier League, you know, he just might prove to be that, you know, final push that we need to regain those Champions League spots. And who knows, you know, in the cup competitions we are still in FA Cup, so he might help in winning one of those cups.
Of course, I completely agree, and it will help us to get him settled down in our squad. I believe that what the squad we have, we're gonna carry this squad next year as well. So if Keita can come in and get settled down easily, then it will also be helpful for us next year as well. So, and I felt that FSG is not afraid of spending money. So if they ask 13 or 14 million, FSG may pay it and they may go for it. So I'm hopeful that we can bring him this January.
True. Vaishak?
Yeah.
Do you think we need someone else apart from Keita in this window? You know, there has been rumors that we might just bring in Keita and that'll be that. And we'll be doing all the big signings in summer maybe. And let me tell you that we ran a poll from our Twitter handle that asked the our followers, you know, about who do they think that mystery player is that Liverpool is trying to bring apart from Keita. Mm-hmm. 38% of them have went for Draxler, 15% have gone for Götze, 35% have gone for Aubameyang, and 12% are others. So you know, what's your choice, and do you think we need someone other than Keita in this window?
Well, we definitely need to replace PC. Like, you know, it's not PC's goals that will be lacking, but his creativity. Like, we'll score goals, but, you know, it'll be probably be, you know, instead of four, we'll be scoring just two because of the lack of creativity from PC.
So I guess we replace PC with a Mac or another PC?
I don't know. Whatever, you know, that works best for us. But I guess, you know, I believe we do need another player, you know, other than Keita this window, to, you know, fill in for PC. If Draxler comes in, that's well and good. I'm all for that. But, you know, let Jürgen surprise us.
But there are also murmurs about Julian Brandt, Demirbay. Those under the spot, you know, those who are not, you know, high profile players, but they have been linked, and you know, they might be the next superstars. So, you know,
yeah, definitely.
Someone under the radar, you can say. So there are players.
Yeah, someone. Yeah, but well, I'd like, you know, Jürgen to give some of our academy kids a chance, like, you know, Wilson or I don't know, Kent, maybe. Okay. wishful thinking, man.
But what will be your choice if you had to buy one player apart from Keita? One player, and keep in mind, Keita is cup tied for Champions League, so we might need that another player who will come in, that he should be available for the Champions League ties,
yeah.
Because, you know, we'll need any help we want, you know, we can right now, because Coutinho's absence will, you know, completely, you know, it'll be felt in Champions League ties.
Of course. Well, if that's the case, I'd like for us, you know, to go for Mahrez. He's not cup tied and all. and he'll bring the added creativity to our midfield.
Yeah, it's a good choice. Dada, what's your single choice, you know?
Okay,
let me tell you this, you know.
Yeah.
I was actually worried when Coutinho went that, you know, it's just not you know, that influential player that's going. He was someone who used to take our set pieces. You know, he was our go-to guy. He was that X factor. Apart from the front three, he was the main link from our defense to our attack, because Chan and Gini, you don't expect them to create anything, you know, and they haven't done anything of note. So he was someone highly influential who could, he was our best player, to put it simply. And he was our set piece taker, but then we have Ox, who's a very, you know, he has a very recent set piece delivery as well, and he can take his set pieces. But still, he's someone, you know, how can you replace that guy? And even if we don't buy anyone, how do you suppose that we are going to, you know, how are we going to cope with it?
Well, you know, not everything in life can be replaced. It just can't happen. You have to move on and find a different way to play. You know, Coutinho, the job he was doing for us, he's not going to do the same for, you know, Barcelona. He will be playing a different role there. So you just have to move on with times. Of course, and you did hit the point. You did hit the, you know, nail on the head there. Just the set piece duties. He was fantastic with set pieces, especially free kicks. He will be missed there. But for the rest, I think we are capable of moving on at the moment. If you look, Klopp is not the one to do panic buys. He didn't buy anyone in January, even though we had such a disastrous run last year. So he's not the one to, you know, just because we have the money, throw money around and bring someone in and then sit him on the bench. Look at Mkhitaryan, what's happening. Well, toilets are toilets, so, you know, they stink. They stink always, no matter what. So, anyway, but you know, if you are asking me that if we bring in one player, then I will say it should be Götze. Reason is simple, that World Cup's coming. He was the winner last year around, but his spot in the German squad is not certain this time around. He's not getting the most number of games. He needs the games. He'll be motivated to prove himself. And he can suit us for the rest of the season very nicely. And he can slot in exactly pretty much where Coutinho has left. The rest of the players we are talking about, they are not quite, you know, PC replacements. So if Götze comes in, he fills in that void, you know, big void to fill, not quite, but the squad is strong enough that we can get by. We won't suffer much. That's what I say.
It's a pretty, you know, that's a pretty under the radar choice, and I agree with you, and, you know, we actually don't base our opinions game to game, you know, where player, you know, there are fans who judge players on, you know, just when a game is finished, and if a player hasn't done good or he has been, you know, off form, players, you know, there are fans who say, you know, he's no good, he should be off the team, he shouldn't even be around the Liverpool team. But when you have, you know, watched Götze and, you know, how he has been brought up and under Jürgen, how he used to play, and for Germany as well. So, you know, he's someone who's perfect for someone like Jürgen Klopp and his team.
So, and he's at a spot where he needs to prove himself. So he has no other option, you know, other than work hard and give everything for the team. So that augurs well for us as well.
Yeah, and he might come, you know, for cheap as well.
He might come cheap, yeah, exactly. I mean, although I don't think price is a, you know, the factor at the moment because of the cash we are, you know, rolling in. But still, it's a under the radar buy. It's not supposed to ruffle any feathers. He will go right in the squad. I think it will be good for us.
Yeah, true. Cable, final point on this. I want to talk about Lemar. Lots of rumors, you know, since summer that, you know, the deal was almost done, if Coutinho was off. Now Coutinho is off, and again the rumors have resurfaced about him joining, and that now there are rumors that Arsenal, his only destination right now might be Arsenal because Sanchez is off.
Yes.
So, what do you make of it? Do you think we'll eventually get him, or do you see him and do you see him end up at Arsenal?
I'm actually not sure about that, because for Lemar, Arsenal has to pay 80 or 90 million pounds, and they are not used to it. They are buying a defender for free and sometimes 2 million right now. So spending 80 or 90 million altogether, it's not Arsenal's way. We may end up having him, but do we want him? I don't know, because I haven't seen enough of him playing in Monaco. He's also a left leg person. Mahrez is also a left leg person. If you ask me to pick one, either from Lemar or Mahrez, I felt they both are same for me. I would go for Mahrez if you ask me to pick one. But Arsenal may not have him. Yeah, they had Lacazette, but Lacazette costed them around 40 to 50 million pounds.
And he can be considered a flop right now. You know, I guess
yes.
I'll be harsh right now, and I'll say that because, you know, I haven't seen him make any sort of impact on the Arsenal team. You know, it's all Sanchez and Ozil again this season.
I think Arsenal is not able to use him. He has a good pace. He is able to hold ball nicely the way that big nose prick does for Manchester United. So, but at the end, the outcome is not that good. I don't know what is going on, if there is any miscommunication or what, but they should be able to use him better.
But that's exactly why Klopp might be, you know, wary about that, you know, if I spend big and if it doesn't work out, you know, instantly, fans will be on his back, you know, like this.
See, if we are looking for, if we are able to get Keita, then we have plenty of options who can play next to him in the middle. The front three are certain, Mane, Salah and Firmino, but we are all concerned about the middle three. So if we have Keita, we can alternate Wijnaldum, Chan, Henderson and Lallana for the rest of the two positions, and then we can have a steady back four. So if we are able to bring Keita back, then I believe we should be fine, and we should just focus on winning games and hope for the best.
Can keep my hands to myself. Think I'll dust them off, put them back up on the shelf. Kiss my little baby girl as you need. Am I coming out of left field?
Ooh, I'm a rebel just for kicks now.
I've been feeling it since 1966 now. Might be over now, but I feel it still.
Okay, God forbid if Firmino gets injured. What do we have then? I mean, Sturridge is crooked. Ings isn't, you know, it doesn't look ready yet. You know, he's still rusty.
I would definitely play Ryan Brewster.
Well, he's too young, man. I mean, I can understand giving Ings a chance, but Firmino, you know, he's, you know, one of league's best right now. And Brewster to bring him in the team, and then people will start expecting, you know, straight away performances like Owen used to give when he was 16, 17. That might be unfair as well. So I don't think Klopp is going to use Brewster. Might be Solanke. But then, what happens if Firmino gets injured? I mean, there goes the whole, you know, Klopp system.
And that's precisely why we need to bring someone in.
Yeah.
We need at least one more, you know, even if it's a backup, we need someone in. True. It's important that we get someone.
Okay, so now we move on. Vaishak, you've seen the news that our under-23s are getting, you know, regular loan moves now. I mean, Woodburn has gone, Matty Virtue has gone, Glenn Villan has gone to Yeovil. Now, I think Woodburn will be going to Sunderland. and then there's Wilson and Ejaria who are also moving on to Lundi, you know, for, I don't know, for a year or a year and a half, that Wilson deal. But anyways, so you concur that hard work pays off. Our under-23s are top of the league, and this is all the hard work that, that is paying off. So, you know, this should be a target everywhere, every year, right? Because I don't think for the last 5 to 10 years I have seen this many players go out on loan. And Ojo is already making a good impact. Kent, you know, hard luck, he didn't get many chances. But, you know, our you know, young players are making impact, and that's what you want to see, right?
Yeah, exactly, man. Of course, like, remember the, I'm taking a comparison with the United team. They had lots of youngsters come in now in the 90s, right? The class of 92, for example.
Yep.
So, yeah, I hope, you know, I really wish for a long time that we had a similar bunch of players coming out from our youth system so that, you know, they'll fight for the team and they'll not, you know, want to go to Barca or Madrid or... Yeah, whatever kind of club that's out there. Yeah, that's exactly what we require. Youngsters, lots of youngsters, well, not lots of them, but yeah, a core bunch of youngsters in our team that are like willing to run the extra mile, willing to, you know, jump the extra height so that, you know, yeah, that'll help us compete on a much better level, in my opinion.
I think most youngsters in almost every academy, they, well, most of them at least, they do try to get into the first team and they are willing to run that extra mile, but not everyone can. Our situation is a little different. We have a clutch of talented youngsters coming and it's a difficult situation for the club management. Where do they fit them all? I was thinking right now, where does Woodburn go? Say, Coutinho has left already. Ben might have been thinking, okay, now I can get maybe 15, 20 minutes in the first team, because that's kind of the position where Ben fits in. So if we don't play him now, we move him to Sunderland, he will get game time there, but obviously he would rather be playing in red than playing for Sunderland, right? So it's a balancing act. It's a really tough balancing act for Klopp. But the future is good if you have so many talented youngsters.
Exactly. And, you know, Brannigan is being sold for 200,000, I think. He's doing this window. Yeah. Then you look at someone like Chirivella, whom I personally, you know, like very much, and I thought he might have made the grade, but I don't think he will. But that's a, you know, bar that Trent Alexander-Arnold and Joey Gomez have set. So it's a pretty high bar.
Yes. And yes, and we can trust the management here. Look at Ibe. We were all hoping that he will, you know, go on to great things, but it just hasn't happened for him since we sold him.
Yeah.
So
there's Wilson as well. Now I've been watching lots of under-23s and I've been watching it for years, and he's a very, very good talent. And you know, and I've said it before as well, you know, he's too good for the under-23s, but still not ready for the big time, and he's somewhere in between. So he might, you know, I'll be honest and I'll say that I don't think he'll make the grade. He has looked exceptional, 40 goals in the last two seasons. You know, brilliant, brilliant. You know, even Nemeth, Christian Nemeth, he didn't have those sort of sets. So he's a brilliant player. Yeah, so he's a brilliant player. But I think he'll end up somewhere like, you know, Tom Ince is, you know, he's at Brighton,
I think. Exactly, yes.
So he might be that sort of, you know, he has the talent, but I don't think he has that enough will or something that Woodburn has. Or something that Alexander Arnold has. So I don't think he'll make the grade, but that's an honest, you know, opinion of mine. But apart from that, it's a good pointer for under 18s and under 16s as well, right? You see these guys graduating into the first team, and you'll see that, you know, Klopp is giving the chances. And you know, if you top the league, if you are doing good, then Klopp is bound to give you chances. And that's what happened with Alexander Arnold. That's what happened with Gomez. So they'll be, and Gerrard will be the first one to tell them that, you know, do the hard work, make the grade, and clock will give you the chances. So it's a good, brilliant, bloody brilliant pointer as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And who better to have at the helm of your, you know, junior teams than Steven Gerrard? I mean, you can't look any further for inspiration. That's the highest you can get.
Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, so the loan deals is done, the transfers is done. Look, anything else to get off the chest, Dada? Or Keval?
Transfers are not done, man. There's a long way to go.
The only good thing is, only good thing is Coutinho gone in earlier this month, so we can mourn about it less and get less stressed. Yes. So yeah,
No. Actually, on a serious note, that's a positive thing. If there's anything positive to be found out of this, then that is it. That this this did not drag on. It has reached its conclusion. True. It's done and dusted. We can move on now.
Yeah.
That's it.
And I'm seeing another rumor that Huddersfield Town are interested in Mark
Gruhic.
So. Yeah, just one point I would like to make out that if we want to send our players under 23 on loan, then why don't we send them to a Premier League side or a league championship club which is actually trying to be in playoff or actually winning it? Because that will give them a type of stress. They will have it throughout their career if they end up playing for Liverpool, that they have to keep they have to perform better and keep the team in that position. So rather than playing for Sunderland,
what we did with Ward, Huddersfield were surprised, but Ward gained that experience of having to fight for top places and titles and everything. So
exactly,
I agree with you.
And
on that.
I definitely recommend not to go for Alisson rather than give a chance to Danny Ward, because he didn't get enough chances. We still don't know. He may be one of the best keeper of future, so just give him one chance and then see if we need another goalkeeper.
Dada, this is something that I agree with Kemal, but it's not just about Ward, it's about Karius also. And it's been pinching me at this point that why can't we give Karius a proper run?
You read my mind. You just read my mind, yeah.
I've seen big Twitter accounts, right? I've seen this big Twitter accounts, by Allison or by under the name that was popped up by this and by that. But why can't we give a
Jake
proper
chance?
Yeah, Oblak. Why can't we give Karius a chance, a proper run in dream? Just give him till the end of the season at least. I mean, why can't we do
that? We should sing. Give Karius a chance. No, all jokes aside, see, Karius is our number two, and everyone would agree that he hasn't been given the chance to prove himself in a sustained manner. Say he plays 5-6 games and see how he performs over that period of time. If anyone needs to move on, maybe it probably will not happen in January. It will be in the summer. Simon needs to be moved on. Give Karius a chance. Ward is your number two. Ward is a proven goalkeeper. Or maybe play Karius now and see how he fares. If that doesn't work out, buy a proper keeper in the summer who can be number one.
Yeah, and what's your take on it, Vaishak?
Karius was voted as the second best goalkeeper in a league which obviously had the best goalkeeper in the world. So that must mean something. I mean, plus he is German too. Germany always produces, one of the best goalkeepers
not
ever.
To mention,
Terstegen
doing brilliantly at Barcelona as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
And remember when David De Gea came to the Premier League, he was like absolute crap. He was like shit.
Yeah, people talk about De Gea. I always talk about Reda. That first season, he was absolutely crap. I mean, he was letting him go left, right, and center. He was at he made that horrible mistake in the FA Cup final. He let the ball sail over him and into the net. That Konchesky cross. So he was if we had Twitter back then, I don't think Reina would have been keeper of the 2005-2006 season.
Amir,
exactly.
Amir, you have to warn me, man. You have to warn me. Next time you, you know, next time you are going to utter that name, you have to warn me.
Well, and are you a diehard Zena fan?
No, no, I'm talking about Konchesky.
Oh, man.
You have to utter that name, man. Come on. You want me to, like, what? I mean,
okay, so I'll level with you. I'll say that John Aschenberg is the reason that our goalkeepers have been bad. I mean, not average. They have been bad.
That's what people say.
Yeah.
But like, what is it with Klopp and the club that we have, you know, stuck around with Aschenberg? Because, you know, I pointed it out on Twitter as well, that decline that Reina went through. Then we brought in Mignolet, and he has been crap since day one. And, you know, I haven't seen any improvement. And you see people like Gulashi. You know, he has won the league title with Red Bull. Right?
These are
the players that have improved. Ward went to Huddersfield. He came up, and he was one of the best goalkeepers in championship. And now he is nowhere to be seen. So, somewhere down the line, it does come down to Aschenberg, right?
As far as improvements go, I'll have to say, yeah, Aschenberg is, he needs to be held accountable for it, because our goalkeepers, they don't go on to become world beaters. It just doesn't happen. Either they come as, like, you know, conquerors, and then they, you know, steadily deteriorate. or they just stay at the level they came in with. I mean, Simon has improved. The only reason is Karius came in. Other than that, Simon never improved in the past three seasons that he was with us.
Yeah.
So where do we point the finger? I generally point it to Simon's ass, because I see him, you know, jumping up and down every time there is a pen. But anyway.
Well, I'll give it to him that he's a very good penalty stopper. So
yeah,
we'll that he is. That.
But apart from that, there's nothing. You know, he has actually nosedive after that first, you know, penalty save he made against Stoke. So he's only good at saving penalties right now. But apart from that, you know, nothing. I haven't seen a dominating goalkeeping performance for years. I mean, you can pick out a Stoke performance again by Mignolet against Stoke, and you can take out these sporadic performances, but you know, at no point can you tell me that the whole season Mignolet was good, you know, in this last five seasons. So I think if you want to say I have personal vendetta, then fine, I do have personal vendetta against Aschenberg, but you know, if you have something to prove me wrong, then please do enlighten me.
So far
we'll
got nothing.
Then we'll let you know.
Vishak, do you have anything? You know, are you a Mignolet fan?
There was this meme that I saw on Twitter, you know, regarding what he just said. Mignolet during open plays, well, Mignolet. But Mignolet during penalties is, well, Manuel Neuer. Yeah. So, yeah, like, you know, well, as far as I think, I think we need to give Lloris or Dani a chance, like give them a run in and see how they perform, and well, then decide on that. But yeah, Simon should not be our number one.
Okay, so we have finished this part as we started on the City game. Keval, I think I saw somewhere that Gomez wasn't in the... You know, he wasn't training, I think, or he wasn't in the picks of our training. So that might mean Trent Alexander-Arnold starts.
Oh wow!
So what's your take on it? Him against Sterling or Sané? You know, they interchange. So,
here is the thing: Gomez has made big mistakes in last five games. Two against Arsenal. One against Burnley. I'm a little bit skeptical about his recent performance. If they give Trent Alexander-Arnold a chance, I'm okay with that, but I would still like to have Gomez in that position because of his physical presence and sometimes his bullying nature. Trent have the pace, but Gomez has that physical strength we may need against City to stop them.
But let's hope.
Yes, exactly. So, but let's hope Alexander-Arnold can prove us wrong. We get some good spot free kicks and he score one, just like he scored against Hoffenheim.
Yeah, Dada then has that big Virgil van Dijk in the center of our defense now.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So you see him and Matip, or do you want to see him and Klavan? Because, you know, people are, you know, he has suddenly become a cult hero. And, you know, for good reasons as well. He has been our best defender, I'll say. I'll say the best central defender at the club, you know, this season. So
what, Klavan?
Klavan, yeah. Because he has been ever-present. And he has been, you know, I don't think I've noticed any mistake from him this season. And he has been better than Lovren, at least. Matip has, you know, he has missed 4 or 5 games. But Klavan is always there, and he has developed into quite a cult right now, you know.
Okay, I'll stop you there, and I'll ask you just a couple of questions. Now, all of us should give it some thought, okay? Lovren, we know what he did against Spurs and his other failings. But how do you think he has performed since that game when he was given an opportunity? What do you think?
9 out of 10.
9 out of 10. Havel, okay.
He has been good, yeah. I'll give it
good. Okay. Yeah. Vaishak?
He's good. He's been good.
Good. Okay, good. Great then. Now, let's talk about Matip. What do you think his performances have been so far?
6 out of 10.
Okay. Been okay.
There
was, I actually pointed out against the Burnley game as well that, you know,
and Leicester
that Matip was someone that put us on the back foot a couple of times, and it was long and Klavan in games that have built him out. And his mistake haven't been costly because he has been bailed out loud. And on the other side, he might not be the first choice right now, but his mistakes have always ended up in goal.
Yes.
So I agree.
Okay.
But I think where you're going with this, you're saying that Lovren will start with alongside.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
But you're suggesting that.
Kind of. Hear me out here. Hear me out. Where I was going with this. So we have 4 center backs now. VVD being VVD. Let's put him aside. Then we have Matip, we have Lovren, and we have Klavan. Now, by our own admission, Klavan has been great this season. Lovren of late has been pretty good. Matip has been okay, you know, a bit suspect. So see that one name of VVD, how that has changed the dynamic of the entire squad, because the entire squad hinges on your back four. Now you pick the best performing guy for the present with VVD, and you have almost secured a solid defensive partnership. And
I'll just point out one thing.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch every City game against Liverpool, whenever Aguero has scored, it has been almost every goal has been in and around Lovren, or Lovren, not Lovren. It has always been, even that the game that we won there 4-1 or 1-4 at the Etihad in Klopp's first game, where Aguero got the goal, it was due to Lovren's pretty bad clearance.
Yeah.
It came off him, you know, right? So, and then even at Anfield, whenever Aguero has scored, Lovren has been involved, and I just don't think that he's the man to start against Aguero. I agree, if you want to start against, if you want him to start against United, Chelsea, Arsenal, I'll agree. I just think that Aguero will make him his bitch.
Definitely.
Okay, so Vaishak, whom do you think will start centrally apart from Van Dijk?
Well, I think Jürgen's going to go with Joel because, you know, well, we need to build a consistent centre-back partnership because that'll help us in the long run.
Yeah.
And I think at this moment in time, the best person to be partnered with VVD is, of course, Joel Matip. And, you know, it's like VVD is a vocal defender. I think we all saw that against the game against Everton. All right. So I think he'll improve the rest of the back line. And even if it's Simon or Lloris in goal, I think they'll get some sort of confidence from VVD. You know, he was barking orders and asking Lloris to come and collect the ball and, you know, stuff like that. You know, we needed a leader on the pitch, in that area of the pitch, ever since Jamie retired. So I guess, you know, BVD brings more to the pitch than just his, you know, defensive skills. So,
a bona fide leader.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what he is.
True. And I suppose Robertson is going to continue on the left back spot as well. And he has been pretty damn good at left back. And I think Mignolet will continue as well in the goalkeeping department. So we have covered everything. Yep, we have. So thank you guys for joining me, Vaishak. It was our first pod and I think you did great with us.
Yeah.
So hope to see you.
Thanks for having me, Ma.
Thank you, Dada. Thank you, Kewal.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you to all our listeners. And please do subscribe to our channel. Thank you and good night. Goodbye.
Good time lucky. I'm finally here in Barcelona where my good friend Luis Suarez has promised to pick me up.
Hey, amigo. Nice to see you, you big shitbag traitor.
Luis, I didn't know you wore glasses.
I don't. These are just fashion glasses. Get in.
Hey, Phil. Sorry I'm late. I was at the dentist. Get in.
Luis? So who's that?
Uh-oh.
Now that it's all said and done, I can't believe you were the one to build me up and tear me down like an old abandoned house. What you said when you left just left me cold and out of breath. I fell too far, was in way too deep. Guess I let you get the best of me. Well, I never saw it coming. I should have started running a long, long time ago. And I never thought I'd doubt you. I'm better off without you. More than you, more than you know. I'm slowly getting closer. I guess it's really over. I'm finally getting better. And now I'm picking up the pieces. I'm spinning all of these years, putting my heart back together.
Cause the day I thought I'd never get through, a hammer to these walls, dragged the memories down the hall, packed your bags and walked away. There was nothing I could say. And when you slammed the front door shut, a lot of others opened up. So did my eyes, so I could see that you never were the best for me. Well, I never saw it coming. I should have started running along. And I should have started running a long, long time ago. And I never thought I'd doubt you. I'm better off without you. More than